Happy Resurrection Sunday. We are going to continue in our series on the parables of Jesus, but before I dive into that, I just want to echo Elizabeth. Thank you for all your help yesterday, for donating eggs, for packing the eggs on Friday night. Everyone that played a part in this outreach that we had to our community, I want to thank you for that. We had no clue whether to expect more people or less people because of the rain, and it was on the more side. We actually did more food than we did last year, which probably indicates we had more people than last year. It seemed like a lot of people, and it was a lot of eggs. Amen, those that were hiding the eggs. But thank you for helping us out, and that wasn't just the Easter egg hunt. That was an opportunity for us to connect with people that may not know Jesus, and for them to see Jesus in us as we love on them, do something for their kids, but also build a relationship with them. So thank you for that. Since we're in this series, I could have stopped this series and did a typical Easter sermon, but I don't typically like to just go along with the flow. So I was going through the parables of Jesus, praying about which parable to teach about on Easter Sunday, and he took me to the parable of the great banquet in Luke chapter 14. Before we dive into that, I got a confession to make. I get invited to a lot of stuff, but I am a homebody, and I simply don't like to go to a lot of them. I was on a Zoom call the other day with someone that's over a network of churches, and he was talking about maybe some way I could get involved with their network of churches, and still pastor here, but be involved with that network of churches. And he started mentioning other states, and I said, I'm not a traveler. I like to stay at home. But, you know, people will invite me to stuff, and they probably invite you to stuff too, and I simply don't want to go. So I come up with excuses. Are they real excuses? Well, there's some truth in them. You know, like I say I'm busy. They don't know I'm busy watching the back of my eyelids. You know, I'll say something like, I simply can't go. I'm doing something else, and they don't know that I'm really just watching TV. The truth is, I just don't want to go. And you know, some of you are judging me right now, and you better stop because you know you do it too. You know you don't want to go to your in-laws, so you come up with some type of excuse. You know you don't want to be around your crazy uncle, so you figure out a way not to go to the family thing. Some of you probably did that today for the Easter dinners going on this evening. You probably figured out some way out of it so you can go home and take your Easter nap, which is exactly what I am going to do. Have you ever not went to something and you wish you did? I have. You regretted it afterwards and you wish you could take it back. The parable we're looking at today tells of people who have been invited to something. You're going to hear that word, invite, a lot. They've been invited to something, but they didn't go. And in this parable, they'll regret it forever. So in Luke chapter 14, setting the context there, Jesus is eating at a Pharisee's house, and he's being watched carefully. They're wanting to catch him in something. They're wanting to put him to death. They're wanting to lead up to Good Friday. He tells a parable about a banquet. And so because he tells a parable about a banquet, someone at the table says to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Now, whoever this was that said this, we don't know who said it, but whoever this was who said this must be well-versed in the Old Testament and understanding the prophecies in the Old Testament. So in Isaiah 25:6, there's a banquet that's talked about. It says, "On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all people, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines." Isaiah, speaking on behalf of God, is prophesying about a day where there will be a banquet where people in the kingdom of God, there'll be a feast in the kingdom of God where people are welcome to come. Jesus spoke about this in Luke 13:29. This is just one of many passages where he spoke on this, but he said this, "People will come from the east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God." This feast that Jesus seems to be referring to could be what's called the marriage supper of the Lamb in Revelation 19. In Revelation 19, John is seeing the future, and he sees that Jesus, who in this scenario represents the groom, and the church, which are all those who believe in Jesus, who believe Jesus is alive and follow him, we are the bride. There will be a marriage supper of the Lamb that God the Father will throw as the church, the bride, is united with the groom, Jesus. And this will be a celebration. This will be one of the best, it will be the best feast you ever had. Some of you are going to eat some good food today. Some of you eat some great food at Christmas and Thanksgiving. But this will be the best feast we ever have. Me and Randy was talking, we don't even know if it will be like a feast that we understand here on earth. Who knows what it will be like, but it's going to be great. To be a part of this feast, though, you have to be invited. And you have to accept the invite, and you've got to keep your commitment throughout your life in order to make it to this banquet or this marriage supper of the Lamb. And that all starts with believing that Jesus is alive and he is who he says he is. And so what I want you to understand today, as we talk about invitation, we're talking about being invited to this, I want you to understand, first of all, that Jesus is our invitation. To this banquet, to join the kingdom of God, to be a part of the church, Jesus is our invitation to be in a relationship with God. He spoke about this multiple times, and we'll read some of them later. But God sent Jesus down to earth for this reason, so that we could have a relationship with God. And so when we talk about Jesus being the invitation to the banquet, we are talking about Jesus being the invitation to have fellowship with God. Because think about when you're gathered at a table with someone, this is why we call our small groups our table gatherings, because when you are gathered at a table with someone, you are fellowshipping with them. You are talking with them. You're having a relationship with them. And so what this banquet talk and this invitation talk is an invitation to have fellowship with God through a relationship. And Jesus is that invitation. The fact that Jesus came down to earth, he died, and he rose is the greatest invitation any of us could ever receive. But people miss that invitation for a number of reasons. And so what my topic for you today is this: don't miss Jesus. We're going to talk about why people miss Jesus, how to make sure we don't, and this parable is going to help us out. So Jesus replied to this man that talks about this feast in the kingdom of heaven in verses 16 through 20. He replied and said this: a certain man was preparing a great banquet. In this case, that man would be God the Father, and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." Now back then, they had an RSVP system very similar to ours. So they sent the invite, they invited many guests, and then it's time for this banquet to take place. And so he sends his servant out to probably the town, the immediate area, his neighbors, and say, "Hey, everything's ready, you can come on. Thanks for RSVPing, but now it's time to come." Well, what happens? They all alike begin to make excuses. The first said, "I've just brought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I have just brought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Still another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." When it was time for them to keep their commitment after they had gotten the invite, they missed out. And so in this parable, God is the one throwing the banquet. We are the people who are invited. And this first group that came up with all these excuses is typically understood to be the Jewish people who missed out on Jesus because Jesus didn't fit what they were imagining Jesus to be. But I believe people are still missing out on this banquet or this invitation to have fellowship with God that God is throwing. And people will miss out on the wedding feast God will throw one day as well. Why? Because they miss Jesus. So about 3 reasons why people miss Jesus. The first one is misaligned priorities. That's what we see here in this passage, is that they wanted to go see the field that they just purchased. Well, that is typical. It's called a post-purchase inspection. So they just purchased this field. They want to go look at it. Well, the next one said, hey, I'm going to try out the new oxen. I'm going to try out my new car. I'm going to try out my new tractor. Hey, I've got work to do. They said they were going to come, but when it came time to actually do something, they were too busy. How many people today miss out on Jesus because they are too busy? You know, the way I want to apply this is there's many people who accept the RSVP. They accept the invitation, and they want to be a follower of Jesus. But when it comes time to actually go to church or read their Bible or sit down and have fellowship with God, there is something else that comes above that priority. They are too focused on work, on sports, on partying, on household chores, on shopping, whatever it may be. They figure out something to come before having fellowship with God. They figure out something to come before sitting at that table and accepting or keeping that commitment to the invitation. But when it comes time for me to say, hey, if you want to become a follower of Jesus today, raise your hand, they're going to raise their hand. Thanks for the invite. I'm coming. But when it comes time to actually keep that commitment daily, it's not just at the marriage supper of the Lamb, it's daily. Because if you don't keep it daily, you're going to miss out on the marriage supper of the Lamb. When it comes time to keep it daily, other things come above. And this is a major temptation for us in America. Those of you that live longer than I have, which is most of you, you see that church attendance has declined in America over the last even 20 years in my lifetime. 27, 28, oh, I just turned 29. 29 years, sorry. I'm getting old. If we can't even gather with other believers at least one time a week, not necessarily on Sunday. I'm not one of these that say you have to be here every Sunday, but I would like you to be at something through the week. That's why we offer something on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's because if you can't make it on Sunday, and I understand things come up, I want you here at least one time through the week to fellowship with fellow believers. But if we can't even fellowship with fellow believers one time a week, and I could even say more than one time a week, what makes us think that we're in that group that's going to miss out on the banquet? When you begin to prioritize things over Jesus, you are in danger of missing out on Jesus. In fact, if you have, because if you really believe Jesus is who he said he is, you would prioritize your life around him. Second reason why people miss Jesus or our invitation is because of misplaced focus. They're focused on other things. Those other ones were focused on work, on taking care of some of their jobs as owners. But then you look at the one that's married. They're focused on their wife. They're focused on their spouse. They're just wanting to spend time with them. They had RSVP'd, but they are not focused on keeping that reservation. How many people today lose focus? We get so focused on earthly things. Dennis said it to me just right out there. He said, we get so focused on a perishing kingdom that we miss the one that will never perish. And he was applying it to politics. We can get so focused on the things of this world, not only like politics or news or whatever it may be, we can get so focused on material things that we miss Jesus. We can get so focused on our own struggles. The storm can be so bad that we focus on the storm and we cease to focus on Jesus. And so because of that, we miss out on Jesus. And then, of course, we live in a world where there's sin all around us trying to take our focus off of Jesus. This is all the devil's doing. The devil wants you to lose focus. So he'll throw things at us. He'll tempt us according to the playbook that he has about us. I tell people, I've talked before, that every person has a playbook that the enemy down in hell has, where he knows the things him and his army of demons, they know the things that they can throw at you to tempt you and to cause you to lose focus. Last night, I was tired. I took a two-hour nap when I got home because I was tired from dealing with kids all day. And then I was tired last night when I went to bed. But I couldn't sleep. My mind was going attack after attack after attack after attack. And I just started calling the name of Jesus. I knew I needed rest. I've had 3 cups of coffee to get me going this morning. It was an attack. And the devil and his demons know exactly how to attack us to get our focus off of Jesus. He wants you to, yes, commit to following Jesus, RSVP, accept the invitation. But then when it comes time to actually do something, he wants to take your focus elsewhere. I knew it was an attack from Satan because I'd be praying to Jesus, and then all of a sudden my mind would go off in some other rabbit trail. I knew that it was Satan wanting me not focus on Jesus, and I was like, well, it's time for me to apply exactly what I'm teaching in the morning. I put my focus back on Jesus. These people received the invite, but the devil distracted them with things right before the banquet was going to happen. And he does the same thing today. And the third reason why people miss out on Jesus or the invitation is a misunderstanding. I don't think in this parable that people know the importance of this man who is inviting them. Number one, if this man is throwing a banquet, he's probably a man that has many resources. He has invited many people, which means he's probably pretty important, but they've missed that. And when you take this parable and you apply it to God's invitation to us today, if people really understood who God is and really understood who Jesus is, they would never miss the invitation. They would never miss their commitment when it was time to keep their commitment. You know, I was thinking, there's a song that I used to listen to. I don't even remember what it's called, but it's by a Southern gospel group. And they go through in the song the other religions and who they follow in the other religions. Muhammad, Buddha, and that's the only two I remember from the song. They're dead. You can go and find their tombs today. They're dead. They're still in the ground. But Jesus isn't. Most religions and most people in the world today, they're not going to argue that Jesus was a real person who walked this earth. They're not going to argue that Jesus really did die on a cross. I mean, there's historical manuscripts, historical records showing that Jesus really was a person who walked this earth, and he really was a person who died. But where they miss Jesus is they miss the fact that he's alive. There's a funny skit that I could have shown you today, but I'm not. But it's put out by the Babylon Bee, and you know, whatever you want to think about them, you can think about them. But it's funny. It's the disciples. And it was basically throwing out a scenario where the disciples faked that Jesus was alive. And it basically made it sound ridiculous. Because, you know, some people say the disciples tricked everybody. Well, in the skit, they talk about how, you know, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to steal his body, and then we're going to say he's alive, and then we're all going to die for him. And they all celebrate. And then John's like, what did y'all just say? You know, like, if this was just them tricking the world, they sure did pay a heavy price for it. They got beaten multiple times. They got arrested. And they ultimately died for the cause. You're not going to do that unless Jesus really is alive. Watch the skit if you have time. Jesus is alive. And those people who miss it, they miss Jesus altogether. And even for Christians who go to church, I don't think we recognize the importance of who Jesus is. Because if we recognize the importance and the magnitude of the fact that Jesus was resurrected, we would change how we live. Because if he really was resurrected, it changes everything. The devil doesn't want you to understand who Jesus is or the importance of his invitation. Because if we did, the devil would lose so much power in our life and in the lives of the world. There are people who misunderstand Jesus today. And it's up to us to help them understand him better. But I want to make sure today you understand just who he is. Jesus continues in the parable. The servant came back and he reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." "Sir," the servant said, "what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room." Then the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet." So because those that he originally invited, I think they're probably his neighbors, they're the ones in closer proximity, they're the ones, I mean, Jesus was a Jew. It's his people. They missed out. And so because of them saying no, the master of the house says, "All right, go out. I want you to invite the poor, the lame, the crippled." And then the house was still not full. And the master wants his house full, which shows God's heart that he wants to bring as many people into the kingdom as possible. He says, "So go out into the country lanes," which is generally understood to be the Gentiles, people like me and you, non-Jews. And so let's look at the characteristics of people who respond to Jesus. First is that they are aware. They're aware of the invitation. The servant, it was interesting when I was going through this, the servant, when he came back, the master became angry, or the owner became angry, and ordered a servant to go out into the streets and the towns and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. Doesn't say just invite them. He says bring them in. Here's what's interesting. Some of these could not get in by themselves. And so the servant has to help them in. I think that goes to show how we, as the church, we're God's servants. We need to help people. We need to love on people to get them into the kingdom of God. And then it continued, and he says, "Go out in the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in." This is a little bit forceful. But what I think the master is getting at here, he wants his servant to make sure that they know that they are invited. And get them in. Make sure that they are aware of this invitation. And for us today to be aware, we must know that Jesus is alive. That fact, we can know that Jesus lived, we can know that Jesus died, we can know Jesus' teachings. But if we don't know Jesus is alive, then we miss the rest of that. But if we know Jesus is alive, then that means he defeated death, which means that we need to listen to his teachings and we need to follow him. And so we have to be aware that Jesus is alive. And we are aware first by knowing the Word of God. It is right here in the Word that Jesus was resurrected. But one thing I love about God, and this goes to kind of what's happening here, Jesus said, "I came to seek and save the lost." And we teach and we understand that the Holy Spirit goes before us and is drawing people into a relationship with God. Some of you, maybe the first time you ever came to church here, you had this tug on your heart and you don't know what it was. You just, in your mind, you said, "I need to go to church." And maybe today was the day you just felt that leading. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God drawing you in. We call it prevenient grace. It's grace that goes before you as God is calling us into fellowship with him. So not only do we need to know that Jesus is alive and that Jesus invites us into a relationship with him in the Word, but also God is chasing after you. God is chasing after the people in this world. But then also, that's where we come in. We need to be telling others about Jesus, that Jesus is alive, telling them the good news. Paul says something to the effect in Romans is, how can people know if you don't tell them? How will people know that Jesus is alive if we don't go and tell them? I think about the women on Resurrection Sunday. First ones to preach the gospel. First ones to say Jesus is alive. They spread the good news. That's what we are called to do as followers of Jesus. But here's what the devil's going to do. He's going to fight tooth and nail to make sure none of us are aware of the invitation. In fact, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that the god of this age, that Satan, he has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The god of this age, Satan, he is actively trying to blind people so that they do not become aware. He puts blinders on them so that they cannot see the light of the gospel, so that they don't understand that Jesus is alive. But then we have God, who is fighting through those blinders, who is a light shining in the darkness, who's wanting to reach you, who's wanting to be in a relationship with you, because he wants his house full. He wants his table to be full. He wants as many people as possible to come to faith. Second characteristic. So the first characteristic is they're aware. Second characteristic is they're in need. The first ones who were invited were the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. But then he goes out to the roads and into the country. They're away from the city. They're away from the town or whatever it may be. And they're out on the roads and they're just bringing people in. And like I said, that's generally understood to be the Gentiles, non-Jews. They're not only invited, though, they all respond. Why? Because they're in need. It's very apparent that the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame are in need. But when you move out of metropolitan areas, you move out of the towns, you move out of the cities, there's going to be a drop in average income the further away you get. And so what Jesus is saying is, bring these people in that are not the who's who's. Bring in the nobodies, like people who live in little old Seagrove. Bring in the nobodies who live on dirt roads. Bring in the nobodies who are just traveling. Bring them in, invite them to this banquet. Why? Because they're in need. And you know, every single person in this room and listening online is in need as well, whether we realize it or not. We are all broken and lost in our sin. In fact, Scripture tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No one is righteous, not even one. And Paul tells us that the wages of sin is death. So if you commit a sin, you deserve death. And that's not for just certain people. That's for every single person except for Jesus, the one who died for us. Every person is in need of what Jesus is offering. Every single one of us are in need of someone to pay our sin so that we can have eternal life, so that we can get to this banquet, so that we can get to the marriage feast of the Lamb, so that we can be with God in the kingdom of heaven forever and ever. And Jesus paid that price so that we don't have to, but we have to accept the invitation and keep our commitment. For people who make, you know, a lot of people don't look too far ahead. They don't look at death. But I also want people to understand that we have a God-sized hole in our heart. That's the way I refer to it. Human beings were never created to live without God, without being in a relationship with God. Going back to the Garden of Eden, he created an Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve we're walking with God in the garden. That's how he created us to live. And so when we don't have a relationship with God, we're missing something. And so we're not living our best life here on earth because we have a God-sized hole in our heart. We need what Jesus is offering. I look at the Easter story, and I look at the people who are not aware of their need. You had the religious leaders who put Jesus to death. They were not aware of their need for Jesus. Those Pharisees, those Sadducees, the one leading this push to kill the Son of God, they were in need. But they were so full of pride, they were so full of themselves, they thought that they were good. They thought they were holy. They thought they were good in their relationship with God, and they were so blinded that they put to death the very one that's come to save them. The Romans at the cross were not aware of their need for Jesus. And I look at the two thieves on the cross. One of them was not aware. One of them was. There are people who are aware of their need for Jesus. Peter, even though he abandoned Jesus, you know Peter was feeling so bad after denying Jesus three times. He was aware of his need for Jesus. The one thief, I think the followers of Jesus at the cross, one reason why they are at the cross is because they need Jesus in their life. And they need what Jesus has to offer. But there are people today who are not aware of their need for Jesus. Maybe it's because we build ourselves up so much that we think because we don't do anything really bad and we do some things that are good that we don't need Jesus. Or maybe because we think we are happy, life seems to be good, we don't need Jesus. But you do. The scripture is clear, we all do. You can find false security in the things of this world and in the powers of this world. But they will always leave you empty in the end. You are in need. That's a fact. And the only way you're not is if Jesus is in your life. The third thing, people respond to this invitation, they understand the significance of the invitation. They have to know who it is that is inviting them. And for us, I go back to this simple fact. If Jesus really was resurrected, that changes everything we know about the world. Because there's one guarantee in life, is that everyone will die. Yes, Jesus died, but he rose again. He defeated the one thing that everyone thought was not defeatable. He defeated the one thing that every person that had come before Jesus had fallen prey to, death. Jesus defeated it. If we understand the significance that Jesus really was resurrected, it will change how we live. You know, Jesus died, and on the third day he rose from the cross, and this was not just a couple people that did not see Jesus in the tomb. What we're told in 1 Corinthians 15:6 is that Jesus appeared to more than 500 people. It is really hard to get 100 people to say the same thing. It's going to be really, really hard to get 500 people to say the same thing. But 500 people saw Jesus alive after his resurrection. In fact, it says more than 500. So there is ample evidence that the resurrection really happened. And if the resurrection really happened, then that means that he defeated the one thing that wasn't defeatable. And if he defeated the one thing that we thought could not be defeated, then that means that everything else that he told is true, including the fact that he said he is the Son of God. And if he really was resurrected and everything was true, then he is deserving of our entire lives. Because the fact that he was resurrected changes everything. Imagine today if you heard someone was buried in a grave. They were dead. They had been dead for a few days. They had treated their body. They wrapped him up. They put him in the grave. But then on the third day, 500 people, over 500 people, saw them walking around. That would be on the national news. We all would want to know who this person is, and I guarantee you we would listen to what that person has to say. So why do people not listen to Jesus? Jesus really was resurrected. And if he really was resurrected, and he really is the Son of God, and what he taught was really true, then that changes everything. Everything about the world and everything about you. And it means the invitations he gave like follow me in Matthew 4:19. And whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life in John 5:24. And this one, whoever lives by believing in me will never die. These are invitations from the one who was resurrected, who said he was the Son of God, who taught that he has come into the world to die for the world so that they could have eternal life with God. These are the invitations that he is giving to you. We have to respond. And so we respond by three things. First, we accept the invitation. Accepting the invitation means knowing that this invitation is for you. That's where the devil starts, though. He says, you are so bad. You are so messed up. You have done so many things wrong. There is no way God could love you. That's exactly the voices that is in a lot of people's head. And because those voices are in their head, they never accept the invitation because they think the invitation is not for them. That is for someone else or is for everyone else, but not me. But John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. That does not say he loved certain people in the world. That does not say that he loved just those that would accept it. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall never perish but have eternal life. The invitation is for you. Accept it, please. Once you accept it, understand that that means that you are believing Jesus is who he said he is. That he really is the Son of God. And you believe Jesus and his teachings. And you believe that you can be forgiven. You believe that he was resurrected. That's what Jesus said, believe in me. When Peter and the disciples gave the call to other people to follow Jesus, they said, believe in Jesus. That's how you accept the invitation. I believe in Jesus is who he said he is. And then third, you've got to commit to follow him. You got to commit to follow him. We should respond by committing to follow him. The way Jesus puts it is that we need to repent. Repent means to turn. Repent means to take a different path than the path that we have been taking so far. Repent means to turn away from something and turn to something. And so what Jesus is inviting people to do is, yes, accept the invitation by believing in me. But then once you believe in me, turn from your ways because they've been wrong, because we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Turn from those ways and follow me. And when you do, he forgives us all of our sins. And he raises us up to life in him. I want to point out, this is the point that I kind of want to hit home. There are people in this parable who accepted the invitation. But when it came time to have fellowship with God, they did not keep their commitment. There are people in the church who have RSVP'd, but they're not keeping their commitment. Because this banquet that we're talking about, you don't have to wait to sit down at the table of God. You can sit at that spiritual banquet with him right now, today. You can have fellowship with him today. Here's what happens. We say we want to. But when it comes time to sit down and have fellowship with him, we don't. Why? Because our priorities are misaligned, our focus is misplaced, and we don't understand the significance of the one who's inviting us. There's nothing sweeter than having fellowship with God. There's nothing more powerful. There's nothing more that will change your life. And he's inviting you to sit down at the table with him right now, today. He is giving you that invite. And so my question for you today on this Easter Sunday 2023 is, will you accept and commit to his invitation? Will you accept, hey, I want to be a follower of Jesus? Maybe you're here today and you've said, I want to be a follower of Jesus, but you've not kept the commitment. When he's given you opportunities to sit at the table, something always comes up. Your priorities are out of line. Your focus is misplaced. And it all goes back to really the root. You don't understand the weight of him who's inviting you. Will you accept and commit to his invitation? He's inviting you to the banquet, to the wedding feast. He's inviting you to follow him. He's ultimately inviting you to have fellowship with him. In the seat in front of you, or if you're on the front row, it's behind you. And even if you're on the front row in the back, it's behind you. There's an invitation in there, and I want you to grab it out. It's a little piece of paper. On this invitation, yes, I printed it. No, it's not really from God. He did not print this on his printer, and he certainly didn't cut it. That was Sarah's job on the way down driving, when I was driving. So that's why they're not straight. But what this represents, though, is a spiritual truth that you really are invited. And this invitation is not from me. This invitation is not from our church. This invitation is from God. You are invited to the banquet. You are invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb. You are invited to sit at God's table. You are invited to have fellowship with him. And so everyone in this room needs to respond in one of three ways. First, maybe you're here today and you're accepting this invitation for the first time. If that's you, you check off that box. Maybe you've accepted the invitation before, but you know you're not keeping your commitment like you should be. You know that when it comes time for you to sit at the table to have fellowship with God, you keep letting other things come up. You're on the second one. I'm recommitting to the invite. You're going to keep your commitment this time. You're committing today to following Jesus and to having fellowship with him. Maybe you're the third, and you've already accepted, and you're already committed. You have fellowship with God regularly. You sit down at his table. Praise God if you are. This is what I want everybody to hit next Easter, to hit the third one and say, hey, I've been committed and I've accepted the invitation. I want you to know today, you're in need whether you know it or not. Don't play around with this. So many people think they have many more years to live. None of us know when we're going to breathe our last breath. And the Word tells us that if we have not become a follower of Jesus, if we've not accepted this invitation and we're not keeping the commitments that go along with that invitation, the moment we die, we go to hell. We go to eternal punishment because we have sinned, and death is the wages of sin. So because we have sinned, we deserve death. But Jesus said, I'm inviting you to a way out of this. I'm inviting you into a relationship with me, to follow me, to have fellowship with me. And if you accept that invitation, you keep those commitments, you'll have eternal life with him forever. Let Easter 2023 be the day that you decide to follow Jesus. Some of you may have gotten off track in the last year. Recommit today. I want everybody to write their names down on it. And once you write your names down on it, you can stand to your feet.